You're tuned in to your daily dose of Sam Nation. Sam Rogowski, your host and faithful servant. 800-222-5222 here on KBC Talk Radio. If you want to be on the show, also my email address, sam@samnation.com. I will be checking that throughout the program. We will be following live here the results out of Georgia. And I can tell you right now, it does not look good for Pajama Boy. He's losing his pants. Tricky. Isn't it a onesie that he's wearing, technically speaking? So a real act of art here. Let's see. As of right now, and I'll give you periodic updates this hour as it unfolds, but there are a number of precincts reporting already. I think some here, one is 66%, another one is 92%. They've got 100% of the votes counted in another county. So when I look at what's happening, there's just a very small number of votes remaining. And we got 51 to 48% with Handel in the lead, meaning the Republicans are likely to hold this district. What of it? Well, I told you yesterday, I don't think there's much of it at all. I don't think it matters. So this is one race in Georgia. All it means is that for the most part, a Republican-ish district held Republican. And Republican voters are not willing to ditch Republican candidates because they don't like Trump. In fact, and I would argue exactly the opposite, that Trump's imminent political demise may be largely overhyped and overstated by the media, who want and wish it to happen. But the substance there, the data just, it doesn't, it's not happening. This was, in other words, a race that was the Republicans to lose. I mean, the Democrats can say, look, we didn't win the race, but, you know, it's a Republican county. But they would have had the math right now been opposite. And grant you, you know, things may still happen this hour. I think by the time we get off air tonight, we'll know how this thing's going to turn out. But, you know, if the Democrats had lost this thing, that's what they would have said. If they end up losing it, this is what they'll say. Well, it's a Republican district, and, you know, we tried. Never mind, we spent $50 million. And never mind, we had every celebrity on the sun come in, and Nancy Pelosi herself stepped off of Mount Olympus, a.k.a. San Francisco, and lent her full-fledged, demented support to none other than John Ossoff, the Pajama Boy. And the Republicans, but for the Republicans, this was a bigger deal. That's really what this is. The Republicans had a Republican district, and if they had lost it, the Democrats would have pointed to Trump losing steam. Support eroding for the president would be tomorrow's headlines. It doesn't seem to be shaping up that way. Almost, I would say, to prove not just the point I made yesterday, but I'm making it again today, Republicans are still on board with this president. And I have for you a great example of this. And that, now, CBS News ran this yesterday, was a focus group. Frank Luntz, you know, he's the pollster, used to do a lot of work on Fox, now does work for CBS. Anyway, he did this focus group of Trump voters. I picked some middle America Trump voters. He's done this in the past, and actually very turns up some very interesting things. But he asked these guys and gals who voted for Trump, you know, what, you know, where are you? You know, taking their temperature now, some months into the Trump presidency. And the purpose, CBS, I'm convinced, authored this study and had Luntz do it in an effort to show that Trump support among his voters was slipping. The story that CBS and the rest of the mainstream media wants to advance, of course, is, look, Congress, you Republican shills in there, you McConnells and you Paul Ryans, those of you who are in Washington and are holding up this sham of a presidency, watch yourselves, because the voters are beginning to turn on this guy. And you don't want to be there left holding the bag. And mark my words, this is what terrifies all the rhino Republicans in Congress. They are they have convinced themselves, living in the echo chamber that they do, that Trump is everything that the media says and then some. And they are so out of touch with what the voters want that they actually believe that the voters will, at any point in time, they're going to see the light. They're going to be struck by enlightened understanding and are going to jump off the USS Trump toot sweet. Well, boy, did CBS get a shock. Once asks, you know, hey, so, you know, do you want Paul Ryan around? And they go, no, Paul Ryan. Now, Paul Ryan is the leader of the House. Paul Ryan is the mature Republican, the adult in the room. This is way, you know, the way it's being portrayed. So he asks him about, he starts asking him about Congress. And by the way, he first opens this thing up and he gives a little, a hand, you know, give me a raise of hands. Who's happy with Trump? Everybody puts their hands up. They're happy with Trump. So then he asks him about Paul Ryan. And this is telling. You know, Luntz asks him who wants him replaced. And now everybody raises their hand that they want Ryan replaced. And then he asks him why. And here you'll hear the panel giving their responses. And you don't want to miss this.
I think the best example, when Obama was president, Harry Reid ran roughshod over the Senate and Pelosi House of Representatives, and they got his stuff done. Whether they agreed with it or not, they got his stuff done. Ryan and McConnell are not doing that. There's more fighting among the Republicans than there is between the Republicans and Democrats on his agenda. And if they don't get it figured out, 2018 is going to be ugly for the Republicans.
And this is exactly it. It is exactly what I have been telling you for months now. The entire premise of what the situation is on the ground with the average Trump voter, I'm not talking about your neighbor in Santa Monica. I am talking about the guy in Iowa. I'm talking about the guy in Georgia, about the lady in Texas. I'm talking about the voters in the blue wall. I'm talking about voters in the states that he won, because if your nightmare, by the way, if your nightmare is a second Trump term, the math has to change in his disfavor come 4 years from now, right? I mean, that's the idea. That's how people lose elections. If you want any info on that, talk to the Democrats. They seem to be expert at this, no matter how much money they pour into a race. But the real issue here is that people like Trump voters still like what the president is doing. They like his agenda. Their fault is not with the president. Their fault is with Congress for not supporting his agenda. And they're ready to take Paul Ryan and Mitch McConnell and all the other rhino Republicans to the woodshed for not giving Trump the kind of cover that Pelosi and Harry Reid gave to Obama when he was president. Remember Obamacare? Man, that thing got done flippity fast. You think that had any daylight on it? Republicans weren't even allowed to read the bill. Rank and file Democrats weren't allowed to read the bill. And here we are. They can't get anything done. And it's nonstop banging about how there's no transparency in government and Jim Acosta on CNN running his mouth every 10 minutes. About every possible grievance, and the Republicans in Congress are cowed by this. So when we talk about Georgia 8th Congressional District and Karen Handel, If she wins it tonight, she's not, she cannot be part of this Ryan machine, because this guy, this one respondent in this focus group that I played the clip for, when he says 2018 is going to be ugly for Republicans, it's not because it's not going to be a reflection on Trump. Do you know how 2018 becomes ugly for the Republicans? I'm going to tell you. You want the simple math? Trump voters stay home. That's it. If there's any takeaway here, you've got to understand that. This is not your typical Republican v. Democrat. This is not your typical blue v. red. This is a simple question of, do the people that put Trump into the White House show up to vote? They were excited to vote for Trump, and they might have, in that election in 2016, voted down-ticket Republican. But they sure as heck are not going to show up for the loser Republican Congressman X in their district, who has been not doing his part or her part to advance the agenda of the president that they voted in, that they want to see succeed. It's that simple. And nobody seems to be able to grasp this very basic concept. People see this, and the media will always present things in very binary terms. Right, left, Republican, Democrat, and they don't understand that Trump has carved out a movement that, and believe me, the math and the evidence, the proof is in the pudding. Trump has carved out support mostly from Republicans, which is independent from the greater party apparatus, that is independent from the grandees of the Republican Party, the establishment Republicans. But he's also carved out a portion of Democrats. And these disgruntled Trump Democrats are willing and would be willing to vote for a Republican in their district if they knew that Republican would help advance Trump's agenda. They will not, under no circumstances, vote for a Republican that advances Paul Ryan's agenda or Mitch McConnell's agenda. No way, no how, ain't gonna happen. And that is it. And that's probably why I've treated this whole Georgia race with such a yawn. You know, somebody was asking me about it, and they told me, "Oh, I sent some money into the race." I'm a politically active person, and I had zero interest in this race. Zip. It, of course, is fascinating to me from a just a pure numbers point of view. I mean, if I tell you what, the Democrats, they put everything they had into this and they still lost because they believe themselves. They believe their own hot air about Trump. It's not happening. You know, it is just a fascinating thing right now, and it's all coming. It's coming all to full effect. Did you see this David Brooks piece, New York Times? Yeah, you got to understand. David Brooks, he's a New York Times columnist. He is an absolutely rabid anti-Trumpist. He put a piece today. It's just of epic. I noticed it because I saw he tweeted. He sent out this tweet this morning that said, "On my list of reasons that Trump is unfit for president, Russia collusion story ranks 971. And that, of course, caught my attention. His point is, he doesn't give a rat's rear end about Russia collusion. None. Doesn't see it there. So I, of course, clicked the link to the piece and then had to print it out, because this is what he said. "There may be a giant revelation still to come, but the Trump-Russia story has evolved. It is striking how little evidence there is of any underlying crime. No collusion. Nothing." So as the Democrats And as the mainstream media is banging their pots and pans about this Russia collusion story, they're losing many of their own because there's just nothing there. And Trump will do, he has held firm. I'm going to talk a little bit more about this next segment because that's really the crucial thing. The only person that can lose any support is Trump himself. If he stays the course, it's the Republicans and the Democrats that are going to get their A money monies handed to them. It's not going to be Trump. Get used to Trump being here for 8 years. Just get ready for it. Okay, I'll give you more details on this Brooks piece when we come back. Don't go anywhere. Don't touch the dial. Talk to you soon.
News.
Talk.
Evolve. Talk Radio 790. KABC.
Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KBC, back. We got a little bit of news. Sam Nation update here. Looks like a number of news outlets are now calling the race for Karen Handel, which means Pajama Boy John Ossoff is out. Not happening. That's $50 million down the drain of Democrats' hard stolen money. You know, there's another race today that the Republicans won, right, in South Carolina. It didn't get any coverage, really, because it was considered a safe district. But it was one that was vacated by Mick Mulvaney, who now has a position inside the Trump White House. So he was replaced by Republican Ralph Norman today in a special election as well. So that's two out of two for the Republicans. And all in all, as I'm telling you, in these districts where you have a mix of Trump supporters, Republicans, and Democrats, and I'm calling those three separate groups, honestly, these are not going to be safe Republican districts if the Republicans in Congress don't get behind the Trump agenda. Plain and simple. Luntz, Frank Luntz, the pollster on CBS News, excuse me, was one of the things that he found. People were incensed over the Trump-Russia investigation. They see it as an absolutely unnecessary distraction, a sideshow, nothing, zip, just an effort to stall the president's agenda. And here is when he was asking the group, here's what they said. Now, have a listen to this. I mean, these are actual Trump voters. These are people who I think CBS News went to in hopes of finding that they have become disenchanted and that the bloom perhaps might be off the rose. Far from it. And here is Luntz interviewing the group and their responses.
Why not learn more? But
learn more.
Don't do it for the purpose of overturning an election. Do it for the purpose of learning how we can put walls up, how we can keep
security. Isn't that
security.
What's happening now?
No. It's turning into a witch hunt.
They want to overturn the election.
In sessions
it's
today.
It's the thing. They can do investigations, but they don't have to do it in front of the full Senate and all these hearings.
And for the purpose of throwing Trump out.
Is there anyone in this room who thinks that Donald Trump had, or his campaign, had improper contacts with Russia? Yes or no?
No.
Yep, there you go. It's just nothing. It's not getting any traction with the supporters. Now, MSNBC might be playing to its fan base, which are Trump haters. I get it. There are a lot of people who don't like Trump. But guess what? I don't know if there are any new people who hate Trump now who voted for him in the election. And what you all ought to be really afraid of, honestly, is what happens when people who didn't vote for Trump in round one come round two, start looking at the guy and say, you know, honestly, he's doing some good stuff and he's not the clown everybody said he would, and he didn't start a nuclear war. And really, I don't think he's getting a fair shake from the media or from Congress. And boy, we ought to get some stuff done. By the way, I'm looking at my 401k over here, which is sitting pretty fat. It's like Sean Spicer size, you know, it's getting pretty full. No, that's just a bad joke. It's you got to understand there are people who are going to be in that position. We're going to say, you know, on balance, I may not like this guy, but I, you know, I voted for Hillary, but you know, it's not the end of the world. And all these investigations by that point, if they're still ongoing, what's the public sentiment going to be at that point? Outrage. That's right. People are going to be outraged by it. And if they've resulted in some petty slaps on the wrist or some, you know, third guy twice removed or a fired guy like Flynn getting indicted, how do you think people are going to look at that? You think that's really going to change the, oh, well, you know, a guy that was fired 4 years ago, basically 2 minutes into Trump's presidency, he got indicted. It's absurd. Nobody wants to spend this kind of time and money and public attention on Flynn. It has to go back to Trump. And if it doesn't, it's a disaster for anyone and everyone who's invested energy into it. All right. We got John Wolfe up next with the news. I'll be back after this.
Talk radio. 790 KABC.
Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KABC, live from our Sweet James studios here on the right side of the orange curtain, still in an undisclosed location, 800-222-5222. If you want to be on the show, also my email, sam@samnation.com. So, Karen Handel wins Georgia 6th. The Democrats have nothing to show for their $50 million, and what of it? I tell you, it is an illustration of the credibility gap. Okay, if you are listening, I had this happen to me earlier today. I was in my office, and what I do, you know, I have this. I have to prepare for our show every night, but during the course of the day, you know, I've got the other job, the one that pays the bills. So I'm in my office, and I will have the TV running. And depending on what I'm doing, if I can listen, I put the volume on. And if I can't, I put it on mute. But I always have the subtitles going so I can keep track. And so it happened. I had CNN on this morning. And about 15 minutes into it, and this is me. I became so depressed. I mean, if you listen to CNN and you digest it, and I'm going to say this, and you believe it, I don't know what to tell you. It has got to be colossally depressing, because I, knowing what I know and knowing the other side and being, I still found it a total downer. Now, consider this. The narrative, right? The narrative that the tide is turning against Trump and that we're going to see a Democratic upset in Georgia 6th, and we're going to see this happen and that happen, and we're going to see a Trump indictment, and we're going to see all this stuff happen and obstruction of justice and all that. It's the tide is turning because you are starting to have certain voices, even on CNN and MSNBC, who are saying, wait a minute, not so fast. One such voice popped up, Katrina Van Hoevel, columnist at The Washington Post, basically chewed out the media for their malpractice of covering only the fake scandal of Russia and not focusing on Trump's horrible policies. And her point in the article was, and by the way, these are dedicated anti-Trumpists. I mean, these are not people who want Trump's agenda to succeed. But their point is, hey, Trump may be waging war against fake news and complaining about the mainstream media, but the mainstream media is allowing his agenda to succeed because they're too busy fighting and highlighting stuff that doesn't matter, that's going to go nowhere, a.k.a. Trump Russia. And then I mentioned to you David Brooks, a columnist from the New York Times. And he, I mean, this was, You got Dershowitz talking about this. By the way, this happened on MSNBC earlier this afternoon. Dershowitz is, they ask him, basically the host asks him about this this article about Brooks. And here's the setup in Dershowitz's response. Have a listen to this.
Things are so bad that I'm going to have to give Trump the last word. On June 15th, he tweeted, and he goes on to say, this is the tweet that he refers to, they made up a phony collusion with the Russian story, found zero proof, so now they go for obstruction of justice on the phony story. And the tweet goes on, and then he comes back to say, unless there's some new revelation, that may turn out to be pretty accurate commentary. Your thoughts?
Well, I think he's right. I think what we're seeing it from both sides. Yeah. What happens in America is if you don't like somebody politically, lock them up, throw the key away. Each side criminalizes political differences with the other side.
And the equivocation here is to Hillary Clinton. But the point here is this is softening tone everywhere. They are hedging against this. The entire Trump-Russia collusion story is becoming toxic. And so is this whole idea that Trump's just going to spontaneously implode. Democrats, mark my words, this election tonight, this will be a turning point. Starting to be obvious that there really isn't anything to a lot of what they're saying. All right, stay tuned. Back right after this.
Talk Radio 790.
KABC.
Okay. You are despondent. You are leaving a John Ossoff, what should have been a victory party, but not. It's basically a funeral. You get into your Subaru station wagon with a bunch of peat moss growing on the bumper, cruising down the freeway, and some hick in a pickup truck rear ends you. Whatever the scenario is, if you get into a car accident, you want to make sure you know your rights. You want to make sure that the other side's insurance company, they don't take advantage of you. Okay? And the only way to do that is to make sure you've got the right person in your corner. And that person, well, you want that to be a lawyer, right? Because that's who you need. But you also want to make sure you've got the right lawyer who's honest, trustworthy, aggressive, and will take care of you. And that guy is Sweet James Bergner, the one and only, our long-suffering sponsor here on Sam Nation. Sweet James will take care of you. He's easy to talk to. He'll help you. He'll guide you. He'll give you good advice. And he'll make sure that you don't get screwed. All right? 800-881-2021, 1-800-881-2021, or visit his website, sweetjames.com. All right. Sam Rogowski back behind the Sam Nation microphone. And speaking of lawyers, guess who has lawyered up? Well, probably everybody in Trump land. But this is somebody else. Well, okay, there is a Bernie donor class action lawsuit that has been filed against the Democratic National Committee. And what do you think it is about? I'm going to tell you what I think of this and whether this has any legs to it whatsoever. Backers of Bernie Sanders are suing the Democratic National Committee for fraud based on last summer's hacks revealing systemic bias for Hillary Clinton in the primary 2016 campaign. So the idea is, you're a Bernie bro. You sent in $5, $10, $25. It's all the money you have in the whole world. That's why you're voting for Bernie. And you sent it to the DNC. You sent it to the Democratic Party. You supported, well, no, you sent it to Bernie. You might have sent some to the Democratic Party, but you sent it to Bernie. You hoped what? You hoped that the process to advance Bernie up through the system is going to be fair, that it's going to be based on the popular vote. And it's an interesting theory because in politics, you usually like to give money to a winner or to a cause that you really believe in. It's very difficult. I can tell you this from experience. People who go into races and they look like they're going to lose don't get usually don't get a lot of donations. Voters put money in because they either believe in the cause or they want something in return. That's the reality of it. Now, you don't buy any political support with a $5 donation. I mean, you know, Bernie's not going to look out for you in Washington with a $5 donation, but you're sending it because you think he can win. And you think you can win because you see a candidate up there who's doing something. It's going to get traction. And then Bernie goes into the Democratic National Committee system, and the whole thing we found out from the leaked emails, you know, the ones that were intercepted by Russian hackers. Right? We find out that the whole process is rigged. That it was in the can for Hillary from the very beginning, from the very get-go. So they filed this case in Florida in federal court. We'll see if it goes there. I think that there could potentially be a case, but the rules, they followed the rules. I mean, that's going to be their defense. They followed the rules. The rules say they've got these superdelegates. They've got you know, these establishment Democrats that are going to make the final choice, essentially. So that's going to be their defense. But the emails that got leaked, they're going to be in the press because of this case. And if this case is allowed to move forward, more embarrassment for the Democrats, big time. Now, speaking of courts, there's potentially news out of Supreme Court. There might be another vacancy. Have you heard about this? All right, stay tuned. I'm going to tell you about this. Very important news. More opportunities for Trump to shape the court for generations to come. Stay tuned.
Talk Radio 790.
KABC.
All right, we're back. Sam Rejofsky here. So there are some rumors right now swirling around Washington that Justice Anthony Kennedy, who is 80 years of age, is pondering an imminent retirement. Now, I want to tell you, there's quite a bit of credibility to this because I have sources and I trust the people I'm hearing this from. But also, there's been noise of this now for a few months. Kennedy's been serving since 1988. He was put in office by Ronald Reagan. And one of the things, I mean, it's an unspoken and sometimes actually an explicitly stated deal. When a Republican president appoints you, let's say, to the Supreme Court, he's going to say, hey, if it's in your power, okay, I can't tell you when to not die. But whatever you do, one, don't die when a Democrat is in office. And if there's a Republican and you're starting to feel a little bit wobbly, just step down. Sandra Day O'Connor did that, right? I mean, Bush was in office and she retired. It's part of the deal. You know, you get put in by a conservative or by a Republican president and you repay the favor by stepping down when there's a Republican back in office. Well, this would give Trump, I'll tell you, this would give Trump plenty of time to get a nominee through, obviously. Also, I'll remind you that prior to the election, Trump did something that was, I think, unprecedented. He published his list. He broadcast his list. I think there were 21 justices on it or judges on it that he would have that he would say, these are guys and gals that I would put on the Supreme Court. And he did that in part because during the primaries, you recall, now everybody thinks that Trump is a right-wing zealot. But in the primaries, the big thing against Trump from the right wing was that he wasn't conservative, that he wasn't a right-wing guy. And so he had to say, look, these are the judges that I promise to choose from if I am elected president. And so the conservatives looked at the list and said, well, these are exceedingly fine choices, Mr. Trump. And then proceeded to not support him anyway. The timing of this, you know, again, it takes a while. You saw that with Neil Gorsuch. I think that process took about 3 months top to finish. You know, this could be a really welcome thing for Trump politically, because it would mean a distraction, you know? It would mean coverage of a different type. And I think that certainly could be a thing. Man, the Democrats, of course, they're going to seethe over this. They are going to seethe over it. But it's an easy win for Trump. It's an easy win. It's a part of it. Remember, the obstructionist that I talked about, the Ryan and Mitch McConnell. Ryan's really not part of it, but Mitch McConnell in the Senate. The Senate confirms the SCOTUS pick, Supreme Court Justice pick. And so it's Mitch McConnell who would, you know, who was very, you know, just put Gorsuch right through. Nuclear option, bam, wham, done. So this could be happening. So keep an eye out next week. This is always a big thing. We'll see if it comes about and happens. But at 80 years old, very likely. Now all we need is Ruth Bader Ginsburg to kick the bucket. 84, could happen. Never know. Oh, she's hanging on. Trust me. For her, the idea of a Trump second term, that's why she's getting so political. Breaking all sorts of precedents. Getting political. She wants Trump out of there. Bad news for her. Bad news for her. All right. That's it for now. We're going to be back tomorrow night at 7. I look forward to it. Thank you all for listening, and I'll see you then.
Talk Radio 790. KABC.